squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
The 19th of November, 12:35 a.m. Nuclear Road, Industria, Johannesburg. On the premises of a well-known soft drink company, a night watchman fails to see or hear two shadowy figures creeping up on him from behind. A hand is suddenly clapped over his mouth and his arms are seized.
Where's the tape man? For his mouth.
All right, don't play your cool, it's coming.
Here we are, Madonna. Keep your mouth shut, you. That best sticky tape money, goodbye.
And the ropes?
Right here. Diesel, hold you still for a while.
Not too tight, man.
We just want to keep him out of the way. That should do it. Now, where's that safe?
The night watchman sees two figures scamper off towards the building he's supposed to be guarding. He sees them disappear into the shadows. Sometime later, there's an explosion from the building's interior. Eventually, the two men emerge from the building and run to a car parked in Kelvin Street. After the car's gone, the old man manages to loosen the bonds tying his arms. He immediately tears the tape from across his mouth, gets to his feet, and runs out into New Care Road, blowing his whistle as he goes.
Police, Constable Watermeyer speaking.
What?
Where's that?
75 Nuclear Road Industria. The Apex Bottling Company.
Apex Bottling Company. What did they do?
They tie me up, but they've been in the offices. There was big bang. I do not know what's going on.
Are you all right?
Yes, I am not harmed.
All right, we'll send somebody right away.
A huge safe has been blown out of a wall. The back has been cut open with oxyacetylene equipment. The squad car men report what they've found to radio headquarters. The warrant officer in charge of the duty room phones the information through to the robbery squad at Brixton. The case is assigned to Lieutenant van Deventer, who goes out to Industria immediately, accompanied by Detective Sergeant Matthews.
What do you make of it, sir?
Neatest job I've seen in years. This is the crafty way of cracking a safe. If the front's impregnable, go in the back.
And to get to the back, they blew the safe out of the wall.
Got to hand it to them. First class.
Have you seen one like this before, sir?
No.
Sir, it'll be no good checking records with a view to modus operandi.
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to examine each phase of the job. It may well be that an old hand has picked up a new trick. We'll have to see.
And how much they got away with?
The accountant will be able to tell us that. Let's get hold of him and give him the bad news.
Gentlemen, I got here just as quickly as I could. Haven't even dressed properly, as you can see. Just pulled on slacks and a jersey over my pajamas.
I'm sorry to drag you out like this, Mr. Gregory, but you're the only man who can tell us what they got away with.
Oh, I can tell you to the last cent. 23,443
rand. Why so much? It's not the end of the month.
No, but it's a Thursday. No, it's Friday already, isn't it? Bantu wages.
To the tune of 23,000 rand?
Oh, no, that figure includes receipts from salesmen for the week. And this is the time of the month we pay their commissions.
I see.
Now, there's actually more money in the safe at this time than at the month's end, you see. So whoever did this was acquainted with the way we do things.
Yes. The information must have come from some member of the staff. But this job was pulled by experts. Well, look at it.
Incredible. It's a miracle the roof didn't fall in.
No miracle, Mr. Gregory. The operation was planned to the nth degree. Exactly the right charges were used to do what they had in mind. As you say, the roof would have come in if they'd used a bigger charge. They used exactly the right amount.
Cunning devils.
How does this affect the company? Are you insured against theft?
Oh, yes, yes, there's no worry there. The insurance company won't like it very much, though. Have you informed the managing director?
No, you were our prime concern. You're the one with the keys and the knowledge of how much the safe contained. We figured you could inform all the other interested parties.
I'd better be getting on with it. Mr. Creland isn't going to be at all pleased.
Just a minute, Mr. Gregory. A question before you go.
Yes?
Haven't you got a burglar alarm?
Oh, yes, of course.
Gets more and more interesting. All right, Mr. Gregory.
I reckon he's got his pajama coat in the twirl, sir.
I reckon you're right. Let's go and take a look at where they got in. This case has every hallmark of a master criminal. Now, look at this. They taped the glass with sticking plaster before they broke it. Doesn't make a noise, you see. Doesn't involve touching any of the burglar alarm wires.
No vibration switch on the window, sir?
No. Oh, who'd think of putting one on the toilet window?
Having seen what I've seen in the course of my duty, sir, I would.
Me too. Anyway, having taken the glass out with no noise, they're then free to work on the alarm wire.
In the night watchman, sir?
I should think he was next in line for attention. They fixed him so that he wouldn't hear anything in his rounds, and then they got on with what they came to do. They drew the wall in four places to take the charges of dynamite, blow the safe out so that the back is exposed. Then they calmly cut it open. Neat as a pin.
Must have all the know-how and confidence in the world.
Anyway, let's get cracking. You make a start on the fingerprinting.
Right, sir.
And it's my guess they worked in gloves, so don't waste your time on the obvious things. Those cooling bottles in the office may prove interesting.
Right, sir.
Not that I think you'll find prints on them. If I remember rightly, there are six lying around. That's a lot of cool drink. They were here some time. Now, look, try the toilet. Seat and the handle on the system.
Very good, sir.
And look out for stompies. They can be useful sometimes. I'm going to talk to the old night watchman. Now then, old man, I want you to tell me what you saw.
They are coming at me from behind, sir. I'm sitting playing my squash box. Because I get lonely here sometimes. And the music, she makes me not so lonely.
Go on.
And I am suddenly grabbed, sir. A hand over my mouth, and my arms are grabbed. They cover my mouth, and they tie me up. I hear two men talking.
Young men, old men?
I am not sure, sir. I think perhaps young. And then later, I have seen them. Two of them go running to the car they had left in Kelvin Street.
Just two, eh?
Yes.
Did they walk or did they run?
Oh, they are running, sir.
Old men don't run.
That is true. They are too stiff in the legs.
Tell me, did they call each other by name while they were tying you up?
Who knows?
And is this where it happened?
Yes, sir. I am sitting on the box, the cool drink case, by the corner of the wall.
Let me see your shoes.
My shoes?
Yes, the soles.
Oh, here you are.
See? Yeah, just plain leather. Now, who wears shoes that make spoor like this?
Where, sir?
Here in the dust. Lots of wavy lines.
Oh, no. I never seen those.
Well, don't walk on them to disturb them. I'll be coming back to take pictures of them.
Here. Yeah. Oh, very good, sir.
How are you getting on, Sergeant?
I found some fingerprints in the jazz, sir, but we won't know whether they're of any value until we fingerprint the staff after their arrival.
It's a good lead. Worth following.
You, sir?
Two of them. Probably youngsters. Came across something in the yard where the old man was attacked. The most unusual set of footprints. Not clear because there's not a whole foot. It looks like the ball of a foot. Huh? Anyway, they could have been caused by tackies or these light driving shoes that youngsters are so keen on nowadays. They're worth a picture. And a plaster cast.
Right, sir.
Well, let's have a look at that safe. Hole in the back. big enough to provide access to the shelves. They must know the Snaker safe. Would you know where to make a hole like this?
No, sir.
Looks as though they've done it before.
Should be here very soon now.
Mr. Gregory, have you fired anyone recently?
No, never. We've been very lucky that way.
Well, I shall want to talk to each member of your staff after they arrive for work, and they be fingerprinted.
What on earth for?
As a matter of routine and for use as references.
Oh, I see. It's not that you think any member of the staff did it, hmm?
I'd be very surprised if they did, but stranger things have happened. I suppose it is possible for you to have an expert safecracker as a member of your staff. We'll see.
The strange spoor that Lieutenant von Dieverter came across in the yard of the Apex Bottling Company are both photographed and cast in plaster of Paris. The photographs and the cast are immediately dispatched to the South African Bureau of Standards in Pretoria for identification. The lieutenant and the detective sergeant then proceed with the fingerprinting of the staff members who may have access to the toilet near the accounts department. None of the impressions they take match the ones discovered by Detective Sergeant Matthews.
We're in luck, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. And now?
We go to town to John Forster Square. We spend some time in records. See what we come up with. How are you getting on, Sergeant?
I'm not, sir. Getting nowhere fast. And you?
Might be onto something. Mm-hmm. I've been going through the section of records where details are kept of known safe crackers. I've been particularly interested in details of how some of these boys work. There's only one man in the whole of the Republic whose speciality is blowing safes out of the wall.
And who's that, sir?
A man called Tommy Rydell. Look, here's his file.
Thick enough, sir.
Has to be with all the jobs he's pulled in his time.
He's quite a boy.
He's no boy. He's 60 if he's a day. It's there somewhere.
Yes, sir. Is he 63? But too old to be tripping round bottling companies in the middle of the night. Besides, you see this, sir?
What?
This last time he was sent up, he got the indeterminate sentence declared a habitual criminal. Still be inside.
Not Tommy. Okay. He'd get time off for good behavior. What do you bet me?
Well, you'd know best about that, sir.
Look, let's ask the staff here to get on with what you're doing. You come with me. Let's go and talk to Rydell.
Right, sir. Where does he live?
89 2nd Street, Friedendorf.
Gentlemen. Hey, wait a minute. I know your face. Van Deventer, isn't it?
That's right.
Detective Sergeant Van Deventer.
Lieutenant.
Promotion, eh? When I saw you, you were with Captain Bosman. Well, that must be all of 8 years ago.
You've got quite a memory. I don't remember you.
You weren't involved with my case. It was a mate of mine, Scout Trierner.
Oh, yes. Hold up, man.
That was Scout. He's dead now. Tied in jail, Kroonstadt. They gave him a nice send-off, though. So what can I do for you?
We want a little chat.
Official?
Official.
All right, come in. I should think we can rustle you up a cup of tea or something. Unless you want something a bit stronger.
No, thanks.
All right, come in then. Close the door after you. Cat comes in from next door and has got mange. We're talking here.
When did you come out, Tommy?
We're getting on for 6 months now. Sit down.
Thanks. And, what have you been doing with yourself?
I've been keeping out of mischief, that's for sure. They're not catching me for a sucker again.
You all say that. I suppose you're going straight now, eh?
Like a rifle shot.
Where do you work?
Don't be silly. You'll give me a job.
So, what are you living on?
Well, Vera's stuck to me through it all. She works. Doesn't make a lot, but enough to keep house and home together. We don't need much. It's only the two of us.
Where were you last night, Tommy?
Yeah, I thought that'd pop up sooner or later. I was with some pals of mine.
Hmm? Where?
I was at the station hotel, Bromfontein.
I should have said, where were you during the early hours of this morning?
Same place.
Until what time?
Well, I didn't get home till getting on for 5 o'clock.
You expect me to believe that? That you played darts the whole night?
It's the truth. You can ask all those I was playing.
Not an alibi, eh?
What's the matter? Somebody pulled a big job last night.
Where do we find these pals of yours?
Well, I could give you all their names and addresses, I suppose. But you save yourself a lot of trouble by coming down to the station again tonight. Station hotel, that is. So we're going to be playing again.
I'll take you up on that. I'm wanting to look around.
Help yourselves. I'll go and see about that tea.
The two detectives find nothing of interest in Rydell's home. That night, they drive together to the station hotel, Bromfontein.
Did you get that report from the Bureau of Standards, sir? I left it on your desk.
I didn't have time to look at it. I brought it with me. Here, in my briefcase. Just aren't enough hours in a day. Let's see. Report on photographs and casts of imprints by Lieutenant von Leerfenter Brixen. These prints can only have been caused by fleet-foot running shoes. They're imported from Germany and are used by athletes for road running. The imprint indicates that the shoes have been worn extensively. This is borne out by the wear on the ball of the foot. They appear to be size 8s.
Can't imagine those being worn by anybody at the Apex Bottling Company, sir.
Unless it's one of the Bantu staff. Some of their footwear is pretty startling sometimes.
That's true, sir.
Still, that can be ascertained by a check on footwear of the staff out there.
Big job, sir.
Oh, don't tell me.
What did you make of Rydell this afternoon, sir?
Experienced operator. Very smooth.
Well, it was clean, sir. Nothing incriminating in or around the house.
He's an old hand. What he didn't know before, he's picked up during all the years he spent in prison. He'll see what his pals at the station say. Staff, too.
Sure enough, a darts match is in progress when the two policemen arrive at the station hotel. The arrival of the detectives stops the game, and the players, along with other occupants of the lounge, are questioned.
Oh, we got started early, around about 8 o'clock, and we finished early, 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, we were here the whole night. Terrific time we had.
Yeah, he was here the whole time. Never known him so free with the drinks.
Yes, sir. After 5, they left, and this bus was with them.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, chaps. Now, what about the drink?
No, thanks. Another time.
I told you, I'm clean. Gave it all up.
Yeah? So you keep saying.
Now, do you mind if I get back to the game?
No, that'll be all. For the time being.
Well, you can come and join in if you like. There's always room for 2 more.
Talk about a waste of time, sir.
Had to be done. All part of the job.
Now, sir?
No sense in wasting evening. Just going to have a little chat to Rydell's neighbors. It's amazing what you can pick up from neighbors sometimes.
What's the trouble?
We're seeking some information about a robbery out at Industria early this morning. You may have seen it in the paper this evening.
No.
Anyway, do you mind if we come in and ask you a few questions?
I don't see what it's got to do with me.
How do you get on with your neighbor?
Which one?
Rydell.
Oh, him.
Doesn't sound as though you do get on.
We don't.
Why not?
Listen, mister. I may be poor, but I got my self-respect. He's a criminal.
He's been to jail, but that doesn't mean to say he's still active.
Oh, forget about it. I've known him for years. He's as crooked as a corkscrew.
Was.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before he's at it again. There's something fishy on the go.
How do you know?
Coming and going in the cars.
Whose cars?
I don't know who they are. There's 2 cars come here.
Mm-hmm. When?
After 5 o'clock.
Friends of his?
Oh, they must be. There's something fishy about it all. They're only youngsters. It's not natural for kids that age to seek the company of an old man like him.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, 2 or 3 months. Sometimes they come here and stay. Other times he gets in the cars and goes with him.
How many of them?
2. Should think they're about 19 or 20.
Could be what we're looking for, sir.
Could be. I think we'll arrange to keep an eye on Mr. Rydell.
While other members of the robbery squad continue with other aspects of the investigation, Lieutenant Van Deventer and Detective Sergeant Matthews keep Rydell's home under constant surveillance. For 2 weeks, there's no sign of the young men the neighbor De Brain spoke of. And then, one evening, a gaudy car pulls up outside Rydell's home. A young man in jeans gets out and disappears inside the house. The lieutenant and detective sergeant see all this from the back of a specially prepared and parked removal van in 2nd Street.
They say patience is a virtue, sir.
Well, I've nearly given up hope.
Now, sir?
You'd better get a hold of that special car. Just make sure he's parked around the corner.
Detective Sergeant Matthews to Special Number 1. Come in, Number 1. Over.
Receiving you, Sergeant. Over.
Stand by. This looks like it could be it. Over.
Not before time, Sergeant. Over.
We want you to be on hand for if and when the car that's pulled up outside Rydell's house leaves. It's bright red, very fancy. Seems to be an old Delta done up. Where are you? Over.
Just around the corner, Sergeant, in Solomon Street. Sitting here with the engine ticking over. Over.
All right. Shoot around the corner. Pick us up the moment I call. Over and out.
Some 20 minutes pass, and then the door of Rydell's house opens, and out comes Rydell and the youngster in the jeans. They get into the red Delta as Detective Sergeant Matthews calls the car on standby in Solomon Street.
All right, Number 1. Come and fetch us, quickly.
The Red Delta is efficiently shadowed by the 3 police officers in the specially prepared radio vehicle. It's followed through Mayfair, across the railway line, and into Homestead Park. It pulls up outside a house in Metaxas Road, number 139.
Right. You take the back, Sergeant, and Constable Freeman, I will go in the front.
Very good, sir.
Police officers, we have some questions to put to you.
Why?
It arises out of your association with Tommy Rydell.
Who?
Don't play games with me, Sonny. I'm bigger than you. Inside.
Look, I don't know what's going on here.
You'll soon find out. Go on, Constable. Go through the back and let Detective Sergeant Matthews in.
Right, sir.
I'll take the key, just for safety's sake. Lock the back door, Sergeant.
Right, sir.
Now, Sonny, where is he?
The young man who came to the door in response to Lieutenant Van Deventer's knocking remains unruffled. He looks the police officer straight in the eye as he says,
"Where's who?"
Don't waste my time.
He's a smart finding.
I will. I don't think it'll be hard either. How did the shoulders of your jacket get so dirty?
I don't know.
Well, I think I do. I think you'll find him up on the roof, Sergeant. Trap doors in the passage, unless I'm very much mistaken.
You wasting your time, man.
All right, sir. Been disturbed too. There's dust everywhere.
Tell him to come out.
Come on, Rydell. We know you're in there. Do you want me to come and get you?
But I know what I'm up against. Well, mind your back. Glad I didn't meet up with you earlier in my career, Lieutenant.
Shut your mouth, I know nothing.
Don't be a mug. It's only a matter of time.
A pair of running shoes was found in the young man's possession. The unusual pattern on the soles matched the photographs and the casts taken from the yard of the Apex Parking Company. The young man's name was Leslie Peterson. His fingerprints matched those found in the toilet at the scene of the crime. He refused to talk, but a known associate of his, Sumpy De Beer, was arrested and found to be in possession of oxyacetylene equipment. Rydell, anxious because of his age to receive as light a sentence as possible, cooperated with the police to the extent of showing them where the money was hidden. It was recovered, every penny. Rydell had considered himself too old to continue his career of crime, and so he passed his peculiar brand of knowledge on to the two youngsters. Unfortunately, he passed on his own particular trademark as well. The very method he employed to pull the job was stamped as his. The youngsters were each sentenced to 5 years, 2 years of which were suspended. Rydell, on the other hand, having conspired to commit a crime, was returned to the prison from which he'd come to continue his indeterminate sentence. The source of their information about the money in the safe was never discovered.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another dramatic story in our authentic South African police series, Squad Cars. Squad Cars is directed by Colin Fish and produced by David Goodman.
This week's edition of Squad Cars was brought to you by the Sundown Ranch Hotel and Lion Park. Two worlds in one.